episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
The following podcast contains the noises of ice in a cup or glass of beer. We do apologize, and I'm most sincerely apologizing for any noises that may annoy anybody out there. Also, we do apologize most sincerely for whatever color we are. If it's not the right color, we do apologize for that, the color mistake, and we apologize for not being a certain religion, etc., etc. So, do apologize profoundly for anything that may upset anybody. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is a bong session. This is Be Told, episode number, it's either 50 or 51. Depends if we get the Mark Devlin interview, which I participated in yesterday morning at 6 a.m. Can you believe that I got up at 6 a.m. to do a show? Yeah, I did, because I've been listening to Mark for, more than 10 years? It's probably 11 to 12 years. And enjoy his stuff. Don't agree with everything he's, you know, not so much him, but some of the guests he had over the years, particularly Charlie Freak, and that's F-R-E-E-K, I think, who is just one of the biggest pushers of the QAnon lie ever. You've got to listen to his two or three shows. I think Mark was picking up that this guy's bullshitting, because he's this fantastical stuff he was saying. Yet he did say some good stuff about the Chrysium, whatever that's the story of Christmas, and in your pituitary gland leaks something called Chrysium every month or so, or whatever it was that he was talking about. Again, all shows, whether they're Alex Jones level or, you know, other conspiracy type sites, do have great information, because negative people out there will have a lot of truth in their show, but what they add is 10% bullshit. 10% bullshit to mix in with it. So you get sucked into something that is actually true, but there'll be a whole, just a little tiny bit of bullshit in there, but that little tiny bit of bullshit spreads, it germinates inside your head, and so you can get sucked into all sorts of stuff. And I've been sucked into lots of stuff. Now that I'm in my 60s, I'm aware of this now, and pretty good at disseminating good information to bad information. But Ab asked me to come on, and this is all thanks to Anna, who invited Mark, because I speak to him on Facebook, and I have for many years. When I speak to him, it's texting, but, you know, personal messages to each other. And I don't know if he knew if I'm the same person that's been doing that, but for some time. But it was quite a good show. We only had 1 hour, and I do like Ab's formula, and he's quite right. People have got about 1 hour, and I'm one of them, of attention span before I'm just going to go off into La La Land. But I do say that it's a good thing to have a low attention span, because that's probably one of the reasons that I'm not, haven't been brainwashed into a lot of stuff over the years, because my attention span just goes off and I don't get sucked in. I don't get into the brainwash or the hypnotism which is being inflicted. And we're going to kind of go back into the last show, Spellbinder, which I did. I think it's a great show. Am I biased? Yes. Yes. Do I say this is one of the greatest podcasts ever? Yes. But it is to me, because I get to say exactly what I want to say. And no matter how fantastical it is, I'm probably right. I hate to say that, but I'm probably right. I mean, I've said some, and I have been wrong before. Nothing happened about Butch and Sonny up in the space station. I said that is definitely a reflection of the a recycling of Butch and Sundance, and raindrops keep falling on your head. I mean, I tied that in. Nothing happened. They did the space station crash. No, nothing happened. A big fat zero. But the fact it was Butch and Sonny stuck up in space. And I tied in all these things. Now, nothing happened. So don't go out and invest in anything that I tell you to go and invest in. I'm not going to tell you to go and invest in anything, though. But I am guilty of being wrong. Or just, you know, but I think they're deliberately putting these stories out there to tie the conspiracy theorist types like myself and others into these loops, rather than look at what's actually going on outside your front door. And I do often say that. I said that, you know, a lot of the stuff people are saying is just getting you arguing and going into figure eights, which is what it is. So anyway, it was a good interview. I got to mention a few things. Av has probably never, ever listened to him before, so I did think maybe I should go on there to kind of keep the flow going. As it was, I could have just kept talking about stuff that he didn't know about, stuff that I've talked about before, the links between Northern English music and the Beatles and Black Sabbath, which I've talked about on I'll Be Told's, guaranteed. I could have kept going on about the Sex Pistols. I could have kept going on about many, many, many things, but it's very hard to have three people in the same room talking when everyone's got something to say. Very difficult indeed. But as it was, I think it was a pretty good show. I think Mark's going to put it out on one of his sites. I'm not sure which one. Could be his radio interviews, I would say, the one that he does. But nice guy. Knows a lot, mainly about, he doesn't delve into the heavy stuff like I am, I would say expert at, and we'll talk about that actually now. I had the misfortune of watching YouTube Shorts this morning, and another one of these sickening, was it the Grammys yesterday? I think it was the Grammys. They brought in two girls that now, or women rather, that now resemble the Thunderbirds, Super Marionette, and I've talked about the Super Marionette and the links to NASA, the production crew before, but the Sharon Osbourne literally looks like Parker from Thunderbirds. Yes, that's about what she looks like. If Parker had a lot of his wood shaved off his face to make him even thinner face, but her lips look like Parker's and they move the same way. Yes, milady. Yes, milady. Parker, yes, milady, that one. And what's his name, the daughter, she's not looking any better. She looks fucking terrible. And this is Ozempic. No coincidence that Ozempic and Osbournes were linked because of it rolls off the tongue, Ozempic and Osbourne. And they are virtually advertising this miracle drug sourced from a poisonous dragon or lizard. And that people are sticking these injections into their thighs or in their flabby stomachs and losing weight like they've never lost before. Now, I suggest, as a conspiracy theorist of 42-ish or 43 years, that this could be the next big cull. The vanity is going to cull a whole lot of people because obviously it's toxic. It's causing bone loss and muscle loss. It's because the actual dose that they're putting in the Ozempic thing is four times more strong than what it should be. Apparently, you can take a smaller amount. I did mention that in a couple of shows ago from Crow 777, the guy that he has on that talks about peptides. I do think those peptides can be good, but not Ozempic, and it's other. There's three others that all have the same. What's the word for it? The same result. You're going to lose an awful lot of weight really fast. Now, if I was a fatty, I would possibly be on it. But now I've learned that how you do take it is like a quarter dose of what's in there, the one that they're using, and you must also take the bodybuilding peptides and go and hit the gym. But this is feeding into a movie which I loved back in the day, Brazil, which I have never seen for 40 years, maybe. Would it be that long? Possibly. Terry Gilliam, a fantastic member of the Monty Python crew. I've already talked all about him and his links. He was in Harvey Kurtzman's Mad magazine as a writer. Next thing you know, he's to avoid the draft of Vietnam. You're listening to Beer Talk.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
What a wonderful bumper. That girl has got one of the greatest voices ever for doing bumpers. Guaranteed, be told. No arguments entered into. Thank you very much. And we're on be told either 50 or 51, one of the two. I know it's 50, but I did ask Joel if he could put out the interview with Mark Devlin as a separate show. He might put that out as 50. And you know, this could be 51, which would be number six. Did a fantastic episode of Bongversations with Dave on Sunday. It's just been put out. Fantastic episode. The guy is definitely up there with the best. There's no two ways about it. When it comes to the mind computer, he's on his own with this. There's no one else doing it. So I'm talking to probably one of the best original types out there, the OG of conspiracy theory is when it comes to being on the media, because he was. And with particular Joe Bonnet Ramsey thing. And he was used as a source from the CNN and a number of other media big shows as this conspiracy theorist is suggesting this. Back in the day, he was the go-to man for mainstream media to say this guy, this crazy conspiracy theorist, is saying this. So, yes, it's a pleasure to do these shows because they really are good shows, but they're not, they're way above most people's pay grade, including mine, kind of. But I've always said there's a big there with this stuff. And after 7 or 8 years of arguing with each other, we put a show out and I've now done... It was 54. Good stuff. 10 out of 10, Dave J. And anyway, so this morning, going back to the Osbournes, I watched this fucking... Look, I used to be into rock music. I believed in them, and I was... the kind of person that would have almost get into fights over who was the best guitarist, and nearly did a few times, guaranteed, back in the day. But I've moved on from, to me, they are just not useless. I tell you what, if they didn't say anything in the COVID 2024, they're useless eaters and I've got no time for any of them. Because they're obviously told to shut the fuck up or your career's over. And, I was noticed the other day that I saw an interview, I think, with Roger Daltrey from The Who. He knows stuff, but he's smart enough business-wise to know that everything's over if he brings up stuff, because he was actually kind of saying that we can't say anything, because he was kind of alluding that they're in control, being controlled. And I totally suddenly realised, yeah, he knows stuff, and he wouldn't have been back. I put money on it that guy never stuck a clot shot anywhere near his biceps. He now looks really old, though. He is really old, but he looked fantastic right up till in his mid-70s. Probably a nice guy, and not a guy to fuck around with, and a great singer. Just a great example of hard rock. So anyway, today I watched this tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. I feel sorry for Ozzy Osbourne. He was embarrassed about what he did in the 80s and 90s. And he said it on that interview with his son, Jack. So Jack looked fantastic, but I think both of them looked fucking terrible, but his mother and his, sister, whatever her name is, I don't need to bring a name up. She might be out there suing people, but either one of them, they don't look very good. Amy looked better, but the other one. Anyway, they're sitting there doing this thing that they've done with this. If you've ever watched reality TV, they've got this way of filming something and then showing the emotion on the face of the person watching it, and they kind of zoom up on their eyes. So, you know, they might be rubbing an onion into their eye, which they probably are. Although I would say the kids of the Osbournes were genuinely probably upset to see this tribute by a so-called supergroup. And I say so-called supergroup because I fucking can't stand Guns N' Roses. Absolutely plastic, always were, always will be banned to me. You know, Slash and his stupid fucking hair and his stupid fucking hat and his stupid fucking little glasses, still trying to look like he did in 1986. He's a bodybuilder now, so he's not a wimpy looking guy, but I'd never thought he was cool, ever. He just looked like whatever. And the lead singer of his band, Guns N' Roses, Axl Rose, now God has cursed him to look like a cross between Benny Hill and Donald Trump. He does not look as cool. Like, whereas Tony Iommi looks as cool as he did in 1969 when he was playing with Jethro Tull. And he's a genuine guy. I Tony Iommi. You know, yes, he's keeping shtum, and that's the way to say it, shtum, about their formation. This is what I want to talk about with Mark Devlin, that band were completely being run by their management, and the imagery of the upside-down crosses, the whole bells and doom and devil stuff was given to them and made. They had to do it. They were told to do it. And Ozzy Osbourne was just, they were just useful idiots that went along with it because they were making money. Guaranteed. And I could talk about Black Sabbath till the cows come home. Read the books. I've read every little tiny bit about them and put the jigsaw pizzle together and got four from two and two. And Northern English music, where that first album came out on, was owned by, I would say there's an Adorno gang behind it. The management, Meehan, Patrick Meehan, who's tied up with Ozzy's ex-wife's, oh no, sorry, his widow's father, Adern. Adorno, Adern. There's a there. I've said this before. Napoleon Wilson, are you out there? Adorno and Arden. Arden or Adorno. There's too much coincidence. Both Arden, the heavyweight Jewish gangster from Britain, tied in with everybody, was always kind of in the peripheral of Black Sabbath, but it was the Meehan, who was a friend of his, and another guy called Wilf, who was another really nasty heavyweight gangster from the Isle of Wight. Now, who lives on the Isle of Wight? David Icky. And I've said this before, say it again. To me, I-C-K-E, there's a code in that. If you're into the heavyweight coding, it's got, and it also is, it's a phonetic of 9/11, which is the letter I is number 9, and K is number 11. So ick is 9/11 phonetically. Who else has come up with this? Nobody ever, apart from me. Am I saying that I'm the best? No, but I'm certainly, no, I'm not. But when it comes to the music side, yeah, pretty good. I'm not, again, there's, you know, Dave J's, and there's a lot of other people out there that are way better than me at the heavyweight stuff. But I can see these things, and that's the most important thing. Can you see what's out there? And a lot of people can't. And even when you tell them, they go into this cognitive dissonance like, hey, oh, that's really interesting. And they don't actually soak it in. But some people do. And there's a few people out there that listen to this show, my lizards, the cat. Where is she? She's somewhere. And Susie. So it's five people. And Dave J, I know, he listens. And that's worth, as we talked about the other day, would you rather have one person listening to you or 500,000 useless fucking eaters pretending that they understand what you're talking about? And I know which one I'd rather be. I'd be told. So anyway, there's Slash, Chad, that drummer from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, another band that I could never fucking stomach at all. Pardon for the language, but this is the way I talk. So I'm not using it to be controversial. That's the way I talk. He says, shutting his door. Anyway, they had this, what's his name? Fat rapper with tattoos all over his face. Post Malone. I mean, what the fuck would you get a name like Post Malone from? Another guy, just like that other guy, there's three of them at the moment out there, tattoo faces, fat with beard, goatee beards, and quite good voices, and I'm not saying they can't sing, but they're just, to me, this useless eating repetition. And they're singing not Iron Man, evil people of destruction, war pigs. A great song, but not like Masters of War by Bob Dylan. I bet you he didn't write that song. Is better, but it's like a lightweight anti-war tune to me. And there they were, and all these people, and they were zooming in on the Osbournes sobbing away, and it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, I am so over this whole. The rock world, the movie industry, the entertainment industry. And I've met them. I've stood around some of the most famous people in the world. They don't look that happy. They look quite miserable. A lot of their skin's poxy. No names, but I've seen them. Pale-faced. They're nothing special. And that's why I was reasonably been with my job a fair bit, because I did not ever look at them as even being slightly better than me. I just ignored them and looked away and looked around and pretend, I was looking for stalkers or psychopaths that were stalking them. Did I, go get a photo with myself with anyone? No. Did I get an autograph? No. Have I got any proof I was standing next to some of the most famous actors and actresses in the world? No. Maybe. Is there something out there? I don't know. But I wasn't even interested in doing that. It was just a job. And I never talked about it for many, many years until I started doing podcasts and talking to Rollo, who was a celeb magnate himself. And he loves hearing these stories, so I started talking about them. And they are interesting. To me, Matrix, Dark City were okay-ish movies, but I've never bothered watching Dark City since, or even I've never watched the whole movie before. There you go. Even though Joel sent me his streaming thing, which I must get into. Unfortunately, I could only do it on my phone, and I don't want to sit there staring at my phone any more than I already do. But yeah, I'm over this celeb worship, and you should be too. And none of these people are any more special than you are. I guarantee it. And I've stood next to them in the 90s, and they're just normal people with a whole lot of groveling staff and fans out there that make them feel more special. And like Keanu Reeves, for instance, I just felt sorry for him. I could tell he was very similar. He's born the same, we're born within days of each other in 64. He didn't look people in the eye, and he kept his head down and was very private. To me, the ultimate horror would be to be a celebrity when you go out and people are looking at you. I can't stand that. I cannot stand being looked at or stared at by people that, you know, oh, there he is over there, ooh, ooh, you know. No, absolutely. That'd be a curse. Celebrity is a curse too, I do believe, and that's why a lot of people can't handle it. I've talked about the band Rat Cat, that's Simon Day, who I spoke to a few times. And the reason I was fascinated with him is because he rejected stardom. And I remember saying, how come you didn't keep going? And they said, one day he'd found people going for his garbage bins outside, and he just realized that this was not for him. He could not handle what he was going to be. And he was an extremely talented guy. He ended up just becoming a graphic artist. And now he's back out there doing it, but he doesn't look the same as he did. He now looks like a 60 this year. He'll be 60. And he looks like a, you know, interesting 60-year-old. Not the great pop star that he could have been, but I can see that, and I totally agree with his choice. And he's now still alive, looking pretty good for a 60-year-old, and playing his music again to a whole lot of probably, you know, old women that are jumping around, risking all sorts of internal injuries to their reproductive organs that are falling out left, right, and centre, having prolapses possibly. And that's probably, I'm sad to say it, but that's the kind of thing that happens to you when you're over 60 and you've had children. Things fall out, and you need to wear Depends. I'll just say that, if you know what Depends are, the leak-proof knickers. I could have, if this was a Rick and Roller show, we had some really funny conversations about this, but anyway. So, yeah, so I can't stand it, and I was just watching, you know, and there's Slash pretending to be this, and I'm telling you, that guy, these were mineral water drinking, even back in the 80s when they played a massive concert in Sydney at a big outdoor event. I knew someone, goes, I was a roadie for a while, and I knew someone that same thing. He goes, oh no, those guys were sitting there, had mineral water before that, and there was no drinking or drugs before they went on stage. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? And sure enough, that's what they pretended to be druggies like the Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger. The fakery in rock industry is just phenomenal. You think that these stars are taking these incredible amounts of drugs and alcohol, and so you copy them. And people, there are, like, the Stones would be responsible. They were their own mass cull from 64, where everyone thought, you know, that Mick Jagger would appear on stage and do it like this, like O'Keefe, you know, oh yeah. And he was an athlete, a mountain climber, just like Aleister Crowley, schooled at the London School of Economics. Highly intelligent, and we talked about this on the show yesterday. Mark Devlin was one of those I brought up. One of my favourite conspiracy theories he talked about was the Leonard Cohen was a mind controlled, thought he was a hitman. And I do believe he was and did and possibly was one. I love telling people that too. I love telling all the Leonard Cohen fans out there that I think he might have been actually going around shooting people, and they get really upset. It's one of my favorite things to upset people with is Leonard Cohen was a possible hitman. Anyway, this same girl, Anne Diamond, who was his ex-girlfriend, she reckoned that she met Michael Jagger in the 1950s at the same one of these hospitals that Leonard Cohen was at. And James Taylor was at as well. And I brought up my much more interesting, if I may say so myself, conspiracy theory that Taylor also bumped into Mark David Chapman on the day of John Allen's shooting. Also, they both got Suzanne in their lyrics. So there's always a key time with words sometimes with mind control. And Leonard Cohen has a song called Suzanne. The one that James Taylor, Fire and Ice, or whatever it's called, where he's talking about being in an asylum somewhere, and he was talking to a girl called Suzanne and she mysteriously died or committed suicide, something happened to her the next day. There's a big there. So I'm, again, one of the top-level conspiracy theorists ever at the moment. Most other people have been disappeared, sadly. We do miss a lot of them too, and it was the worst one was Chris Kendall going. And Alan Watt, the same, can you believe it, the same month or 2 months? What were the odds of that happening? Is that suspicious? Is it just a bad coincidence? I don't know. You're listening to BeTalk.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Thanks, Joel. What a voice. What a voice that man's got. BeTalk, episode number between 50 and 51, we'll just say that. And we're talking about the great conspiracy theorists out there, me, and my links that I picked up on, and that's because I listened to so many different shows, and the one I got, the Mark David Chapman bumped into, James Taylor claims he bumped into Mark David Chapman the day before he shot John Lennon. That came from the Ed Offerman show. And Mark Devlin had the Anne Diamond interview. Now, Diamond's another suspicious name. That might be a pseudonym that she's using. So it's that logo that they keep throwing out all the time. And I haven't watched the Grammys yet to see how many people were accidentally holding their left eye. But there would be, guaranteed. I saw that, and there she was again. And me and Rollo have been promoting Amy and the Sniffers ad nauseum since they came out. I wouldn't fucking, what's the word for it? No, I shouldn't be nasty, but apart from the fact she needs to go and see an orthodontist pronto, she'd just keep her mouth shut and stop going on about climate change, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And totally just all the lefty woke shit that comes out of that girl's mouth. Just shake that bum and sing. It's all you have to do, and wiggle those normal breasts of yours. That's all you have to do, and jump around and sing. Don't tell us who and what we should be doing, because these rock stars they do think that they're better than us. Yes, they do, but the rock stars are the ones that are going down big time. Big time. And that's why you're seeing so many rock singers and all that suddenly putting out books that they were molested, et cetera, et cetera. This is damage control, because they were sleeping with 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds and younger, whether they knew it or not, in the 70s. And they've been told, things are going bad now. We're not the golden rock stars that we used to be in the 60s, and people aren't believing that we're special anymore. They're finished. They are finished, be told. They don't need them anymore. They do not need them anymore. So what you'll find is the ones that are still going are saying as many politically correct, woke things to keep themselves relevant as possible. But they are not relevant anymore. Unless you say something about them on Facebook and you're going to get piled on by a whole lot of either bots or just useless eaters that are, still believe these people are better than them. But they're not. Just like the actors, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why they've given the name stars and rock stars. They were the new gods, you know, and what's his name? That fantastic guy. Well, guy I want to speak to the most, actually, that does, that wrote that book, Our Gods Wear Spandex. That, is it Mark? Who interviews him all the time? I think Mark Devon's talked, there's a few other people that get him on all the time. Just fantastic. Gods Wear Spandex. That guy, in his site's called Behold the Black Sun or something or other. Chris Knowles. Fucking fantastic. Up there with Jan, not yet. Jan Irvin's turned into a Trump, basically promoter of Donald Trump. I can't believe it. Every now and then, though, he does bring up his old stuff he did about England and the how England is behind everything. But he's really not the same as he was. He was the best with his guests, particularly. Your chair is squeaking! Apart from that time. Hans Otto, just listen to the last one, the hypnotism thing. That is 100% fucking gold class shows. They're on being simulcast on the William Ramsey show. William Ramsey is now so big. He got Tacky, is that his name? Tacky, T-A-K-I. He's a, is that what his name is? The Greek high royalty type that became a journalist for 40 or 50 years who knows everybody and we're all, he knows where all everything's buried, et cetera, et cetera. And they talked about his new book. It was promoting his new book. Confessions of a Wild Greek Boy or something or other. Fantastic. Good interview. And he glossed over and said that Ghislaine Maxwell's actually a nice person. Whoa. I think William Ramsey nearly fell off his chair when he said that. He said she's been done over. He also said that Prince Andrew has been done over as well. And I would, you know what? I'm going to tend to agree there. I've also talked about this. What were the odds that Prince Andrew, because I always felt sorry for Prince Andrew, because he was going out with Koo Stark and I had the hots for her. I thought she was so extraordinarily beautiful and still do. Is she out there? She wouldn't look the same as me. Wouldn't look the same, sadly. Who's that just popped in here?
Hello, Rick.
Hey, Martha. Good to go.
Martha, all right.
Just, how are you, mate? Good to hear from you.
Not bad yourself. Yeah, Andrew.
I just did that 6 o'clock thing myself yesterday. I'm not into talking at six in the morning. What's the time there?
Yeah, it's 26 minutes past eight in the morning.
That's a bit more normal. That's a bit more normal.
Yeah. So I thought I'd just pop into some quick hello.
Well, you don't really need to ask, so no problem, man. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the show that yesterday?
Yes.
Fantastic.
It was good.
Look,
yeah, some good info.
Yeah, it was good. Unfortunately, as I said, for when you got three people and the subject, I mean, I would have talked about Situationists. That was, or Black Sabbath and Northern English music, which I know he doesn't know about. He's had a lot of guests over the years that try to expose, you know, Black Sabbath and the heavy rock, but none of them hit anywhere near the stuff I've been talking about. They just, I don't know. But anyway, no, I thought it was all right. Good. And I contacted him and said, and he's going to, I don't know where he's sharing it, but I just said, if you can mention this show, the Be Told show, because that's where I'm doing most of my talking about this particular subject. Anyway, you must tell me how Scotland is. I just listened to what's his name on the Melissa's show. What's his name?
Yeah. Neil Foster.
Neil Foster.
Yeah.
And he was rich.
Yeah, I like him.
And now, I do too. But I think he's not 100% on the stuff that I'm talking about, but he's definitely very funny. And he was good enough to be on Alan Watt's show. If Alan Watt liked him, then he must be pretty good. But he was reading about the nanny state of Scotland at the moment, how that the warning everyone about weather that are mild compared to what everyone else is getting pretty much anywhere in the world. That, you know, it's like 6 inches of snow they're putting down as being, we're going to die. That's it. He's funny because, you know what, he's got that Scottish, what's it called?
It's quite a dry sense.
Really
cynical.
Dry.
Yeah, that's why I like him. But yeah, we've been having that for weeks now. They've been promising, you know, snow. But it is winter. People forget it's winter. And we haven't had anything up, you know, this part of Scotland where I am, it's been okay. We haven't had any snow. I know in the south of England they've had some snow, but even down there it's, you know, a threat to life and don't go out and stay indoors.
We have the same thing here. When the sun comes out, it's like, but you've got to put up, you know, drink water. This is what they're telling us. Don't go outside, drink lots of water and monitor your temperature. Mm. It's like, I'm in fucking Australia, for God's sake. They talk down to us on the media and make us to feel like we need them. But every comment, I attack them like you would not believe on Facebook. Every time they publish anything, I always go, comment like, this is the dying breaths of the most of the media dying, trying to, you know, tell us, trying to shock us with some story so we'll subscribe to their dying paper. And that's what's going on. They are dying.
A lot of people have had enough of it, and I think, but it's, you know, it's still the old. If I go into work, into the office, that's all they talk about is A, their ailments, how sick they are, or B, the weather. And it's boring. It's so boring. They've got nothing else to talk about. It's just that's their life, you know.
I do go into offices, but I only do it, you know, last few days of the week, and I catch up with certain people I've been talking to for years. And most of the time it's, you know, the ones I choose to talk to have got interesting stories about, but they've been overseas or they're doing stuff, and I like that. But there are certain people, I've never worked in an office, I'll just tell you now. Mm-hmm. I could not cope with that life. And these, you know, like people that sit around the water cooler talking about sport, talking about this. You see them on Facebook, and that's all they can talk about. It's the sport, the weather, what TV show they may or may not have watched. It's just, you know. It's not useless eating. It's this useless dead information that there's no spiritual feeling at all. It's just this dead conversation. Like, oh, the season sport. Oh my God, that bloody cricket.
I don't mind. I'll talk about the sport, but they just parrot. They just repeat everything they hear in the newspapers. It's not kind of their own opinion of what they formed. It's just what they've been downloaded with.
I'm baffled about that James Delling poll and off that UK column.
Mm. Mm.
He's sounding more out there than David Icke now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, sorry, I'm going to make some noise here. It's involving ice. Sorry, and I did apologise before I came on. Isn't it also strange that ice is in the media, the name ICE, like ISIS, ICE, etc.
Yes.
And
we've got the Winter Olympics starts next week as well, so there'll be a lot of ice. Be a lot of ice there as well.
I love saying ICE, ISIS, ICE, ISIS, ISIS. Mm. And in America, I do, and I spoke to Ab yesterday, I think it was like a balmy minus 25 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how the fuck do you live in that? I'm sorry.
That's too much, isn't it? I mean, it's 5 degrees here, and it's cold enough. It's been chilly. It's been grey. Been really grey here. We haven't had a lot of blue sky, but they're predicting more snow this week. So no doubt it'll be stay indoors and don't go out. But,
that's what I'm saying. Is stay indoors, don't go out. Yeah, are you still permitted to work from home?
Yeah, we do a a hybrid, it's called. So you can, you're supposed to do 2 days a week in the office, but everybody kicked off about it. It's amazing that they can spend 2 years indoors, you know, shut indoors and not allowed to go out, and they're happy to do that. But to go back to the office 2 days a week, they was all up in arms, and they refused. They was threatening to go on strike. It's amazing.
Oh, no, it's the same here. And I notice it now when I drive into the Sydney, into the city on Friday afternoons. Back in the day, I'm talking about in the 80s, I would never even have attempted that at that time. But now I drive through, and it's just like, boom, no problem. There's hardly any traffic. No.
I know, it's a completely new way of doing things. Isn't it? Mondays and Fridays are dead. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays are generally fairly busy, but the office is closed. It's dead. I was in the office yesterday, and I was just sitting there on my own in a floor of about 200 desks.
When we talk about COVID era being over, it's not over. It's only got bigger. No. Bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, the new normal, isn't it? That's what they promised us, and that's what people are doing. Yeah,
And they're begging for people to come into their office, and they're saying that, no, I don't want to. And they'd rather stay at home. And I don't blame them. I do not blame them. I'd rather stay at home.
We're all in a different routine now. It suits me to be working at home with, you know, animals and starting early and no commuting and things like that. So, yeah, without a doubt, it's not a bad thing. But you kind of miss that interaction with people and those days of going down the pub after work and, you know, meeting people and meeting, you know, partners and girlfriends and things like that, which you used to do at work, they're all forgot about now. People forget.
Well, by coincidence, I saw this very funny cartoon at Private Eye magazine, even though they are now completely, they all attack anyone talking about the word conspiracy theory, which is what they, they make sure they do, even though back in the day they were one of the best magazines ever. They have some very good cartoonists, and one of them was a couple of guys, a little cartoon by one of their top cartoonists, and one of them's going, what's the thing called, the introduction to the pathways to dying thing or whatever, they call it over there. They have implemented it, but it's mainly to help small businesses, bars and pubs close, because they're the only ones being put on a pathway to death in the UK. Yeah. It's the little bars, little restaurants, the pubs, the nightclubs, they're gone and dying. You're watching bars that have been, a cafe that have been there since 1860 closing its doors because it does not
have the 100%. 100%. Yeah, I was reading an editorial from a magazine. What's that magazine we get about the culture and all the films? I forget the name of it now. My mind's gone blank. You know the one where I do all this stuff?
Infinity.
I was reading the editorial of that, the chap, and he was complaining that, you know, pubs are closing. And, you know, by 2030, there's that number again, 2030, they reckon that, you know, 75% of the pubs will be closed in England. And he was complaining about it. Easily, but you think yourself, they're 2 years where they was all told to sit at home and they sat at home when they should have been out banging on the doors of the pubs to let them in. So it's their own fault. You reap what you sow.
Exactly, but I knew as soon as I saw that Dublin shut their pubs for almost a year, that if they got away with that in Dublin, they can get away with it all over the world because the Irish.
Yeah.
If they can shut pubs in Ireland, then they can do it anywhere because the Irish are the most.
Same as Scotland. Yeah, same as up here. The pub's shut and everybody was happy to sit indoors and get their tins of beer from the supermarket.
Because they've made them
and
they so
expensive. And then they complain. They complain when pubs are closing.
It's happening and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And we've been given, though, is this weather fear porn. And war, rumours of war, you know, et cetera, to keep us looking over there. But what's actually happening is that your life is just going to change in the next 5 years. If there's any pubs left in the UK, they'll be all owned by that same company. What's that big company that owns all the pubs?
Weatherspoons. It'll be Weatherspoons.
They'll keep going. But all the independent family-owned pubs gone.
I mean, you have to take into consideration as well that, you know, the amount of immigrants being shipped over here and Muslims and whatever and different, like that. They don't go to the pub. And that's not part of their culture. So pubs are pubs of time.
Yeah, it happened in a suburb in Sydney years ago that got flooded with Muslims. They actually had teams of Muslims standing at the front shouting at people going into the pubs they wanted it to a Sharia law. They wanted the suburb to be a Sharia law place. And pubs shut left, right and centre. So this mass Muslim migration has got the other weapon on it, the end of it, is your normal lifestyle of pubs and things like that are going to go. Because,
of course.
So it's the perfect
way. Also, the mayor of London is a Muslim as well, so he's happy for the pubs and all entertainment to close in London. It doesn't bother him because that's probably why he's been brought in. If anything, the pubs are being made into churches and mosques. So work that out. It's crazy. You mentioned Dellingpole. What were you going to say about him? You don't. He's gone crackers. I don't trust him anyway.
He's flat earth. He's, again, and as soon as they say that, anyone brings up and says the word flat earth, because it's a weaponized, and it's NLP and it's flat. Yep. You know, nothing's good that's flat. You know, it's I think Lynn said it best the other day. She said it should be called, something skeptic, or she described it.
Ball earth skeptic.
She had a better term, but she said it should be if you gave it as another title. But no, the 2015 is when that happened, and that was a total guaranteed psychological operation. All of those people you're listening to, Be Tall after the break.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate.
Joel singing there. That was Joel singing there with the voice transmogulator, whatever they're called. You're listening to Be Told, episode number 50 or 51, I'm not sure. And I'm talking to Martha all the way in Scotland. Whereabouts are you in Scotland? You're in the lowlands or the highlands?
East coast in Fife, so about 10 miles from Edinburgh in Dunfermline. Which used to be the capital of Scotland many, many years ago. It's quite a historic little town, actually, where we are. So we have there's a ley line going through it where we've got an abbey. Andrew Carnegie was born in Dunfermline, so that's where he was born. So it's quite a lot of Carnegie. We've got a Carnegie Museum and a statue in the park and things like that. They love him. They love him up here. So that's interesting. Masonic Lodge.
Kind of talking about, and I went over as usual. I started talking about Prince Andrew and Coo Stark before, but I was interested. Interesting. I've been thinking about it for a long time. That the Queen's favourite show, can you believe it, was Game of Thrones. And when I seen her, you know, grinning away, and she was grinning away looking at the set of Game of Thrones, I thought she knows there's more truth in that show than anything else, and that was her favourite show. And the protagonists in there was the Starks and the whatever, the other lot. And then Prince Andrew was going up with this Coo Stark.
Coo Stark, yeah.
Yeah, and she forbade Andrew from marrying her, and so he ended up with that fucking Fergie. I mean, please, how would that have happened? If you ever look at Coo Stark and then have a look at Sarah Ferguson, I don't know what she was good at, but it must have been something very impressive. I'll just say that he would have married her. But the fact that the Starks and there's a lineage there with
blood, the same bloodline, no doubt.
What's a coup? You know, it's COUP or AOO, the Coo Stark. And that was a 1980s narrative story. I think there's a there there somewhere. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
there's
no doubt.
There's something there there. But yeah, I just had to finish that story because I started about.
No, that's good. Good connection. Yeah. Good connection. Yeah, just one other little thing. You posted the video a couple of days ago about when on the back of the chat with Mark Devlin about the LSD.
Yes.
And the acid in Wales, Operation.
It's called Julie.
Operation Julie. Yeah, I never heard of that. That was a good little video. That very interesting. Incredible.
It had one of my, and he is very likable. The guy that they pretended was the Mr. Big of drugs, and like, come on, what's his name?
Howard Marks.
Howard Marks. Now, Howard Marks is a very interesting character, and he is a funny guy. But there's no he was just like the fall guy because we all know who was actually running the drugs, and that's the Royal Navy and the American military. The other distributors of the drugs, and that's why the other ones busting the smaller cartels removing drugs when they're the other ones actually doing it, guaranteed.
Well, the policeman said at the end of it, when they confiscated, I don't know, a million tabs of LSD. I can't remember what it was. And he said the price of LSD went from £1 a tab to £6 a tab. What a great bit of business, isn't it? Get rid of all your competitors and you're making more money.
That's what it is. But it's a very good, I'm glad you brought that up because he says, I'm sorry, more ice. The ice storm going on in my fridge. It must be horrible when you're sitting in America listening to a guy going on about putting ice in his beer because it's hot and you're sitting there about to die of
don't rub it in. I'm sitting there and hot tea.
Oh, look, I can't. Again, apart from the snakes and the sharks and the whatever else, this is the place to be. Anyway, Operation Julie or Julia. I think it was Julie. That woke me up in 1983, I think it was. I watched a documentary and I think, and I'm going to be quite honest here, it's been scrubbed because I tried to find it. All I can find is a British movie about it, a TV movie, which I would urge you to watch because that's still full of good stuff. It's on YouTube for free if you want. And it stars no one I can remember as being famous, but so basically it was what I watched though and what woke me up, it was this really hardworking team of detectives were trying to infiltrate the LSD that was suddenly expanding. Like they'd never seen it so much of it ever since the 60s. This isn't around 75, 76, 77, just before the punk movement. The operation situationist took over the next wave. Anyway, the documentary I watched was actually real. It wasn't a movie, and it was a team of detectives. They went undercover, with moustaches and long hair, and the Julie was one of the cops. They named it after her, and they went in there filming these festivals. All that music they were filming. This is Hawkwind and. All these other big outdoor festivals, David Bowie, the Met,
Glastonbury and all that,
Glastonbury, etc.
Mm.
So they were told, we know the guy that's doing it. It's coming from some big, estate somewhere, in that documentary that you saw, which is really good and has awesome music, awesome soundtrack, that glosses over a lot of it. But what they did, if you can read between the lines, what they're saying, it was an American guy that owned that mansion. That's the guy, right? So it was a big American that owned the mansion that they were manufacturing all the stuff, and that's where they gloss over that. But that's where the story lies. So these cops that worked for 6 months to a year undercover were told. Amongst themselves, they said, well, we can get this guy, he's there now, or we know how to do it. And they were advised from up on top, and it'll be the Masons that run the police.
Tipped him off. He got the tip off,
They got the tip off, And so the guys that moved in and tried to arrest them, they at the end of this documentary, it showed you where they ended up, and all of them were directing traffic or going around to schools doing safety talks. They were all sacked from their positions, every one of them. And that documentary says, oh, no, they were so excited about being undercover, they resigned afterwards. But no. The Masons that run the cops in England, Wales, Scotland, et cetera, particularly Scotland, were told, and I'll go sideways here, a very good friend of mine, she was listening to my conspiracy theories one night, and she said, oh, Rick, I actually agree. My father is a sergeant in Scotland, and he told me, he goes, I'll never, ever get further than this rank because I'm not a Mason. So she actually was listening to me. There was other people going, oh, yeah, you conspiracy theorist, yeah, blah, 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 blah. But she came over to me and said, no, my dad is a sergeant in Scotland, and he told her that as far as he's only going to become a desk jockey sergeant and he'll have to retire because he's not a Freemason. So it is
100%,
true.
Yeah,
100%,
yeah.
They run
I would say so.
And if you can find the original documentary about Codename Julie or Operation Julie, and I'm not talking about the TV show, but the TV show is good, better than that one what you saw.
Yeah.
But once you see how Mark's turning up, then you know that it's been controlled because he was allowed. Have you ever watched the documentary where the FBI, it's about the FBI coming after him?
Yeah.
Called Mr.
Yeah, read the book as well. Yeah,
I actually saw the documentary by the FBI guy that actually. Now we know that the people running the drugs were the military. That's who was doing it. The FBI, which is an anagram of fib, I'll say that again, an anagram of fib. If I work that one out, they were just. Allowed to pick on certain people that weren't, you know, part of the gang. And so Howard Marks was probably, he was moving a lot of pot, probably out of Jamaica and stuff like that. Mm. But he was not Mr. Big. He was just Mr. under halfway up.
Mr. Average, working for the government. Yeah, he was corralling all the people. He went to Cambridge, didn't he? So he was well in with all the Cambridge lot, MI5. So don't take much to work out.
We'll just say that Hal Marx and the name Marx is also very suspicious. And we don't need to say any more than that. And it's the same name, surname as the guy that actually told Patrick McGoohan the story that made him write the film, the TV show, The Prisoner. His producer was a guy surnamed Marx, M-A-R-K-S. But work it out. It'll be Mark Steen or whatever. And but he's so likable, and I totally agree with Mr. Nice because he's a great storyteller, etc. But he's not telling you any truth. He's just giving you the cricket scores. Of information.
Giving you the Hollywood version. So it's an interesting romp, an interesting story. And that's what it is, isn't it? A lot of it's just a narrative.
Well, I've kind of gone on more about that, but that's the problem again. It was like we had 1 hour to do it. And,
I thought it was, actually before I go, just interestingly, we picked up on the rave scene and you know all the ecstasy in the 90s. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of room there for discussion
there's no one else talking about it. There is nobody else talking about it. So he is doing some great stuff. And I love his book, No One Stands a Plumber. And that is so funny that Mark E. Smith from The Call was a plumber. But Sid Vicious, and then who's the other one I mentioned, Bob Marley. The one that makes me sick the most, those Clash and Clash fans. And that's why, and before you go, I'll say this, what I've picked up on as well is that, and I played the song two episodes ago, Public Image by Public Image Limited. Lydon was telling you the truth. What happened with him, he was used and spat out. But they didn't realise he actually had a brain and was going to come back and say, hang on a minute, because that's why he called it pub. So they were, he was obviously told when the Sex Pistols were, you know, they were given two, all they were meant to do was put that one album out. That was it. The Nevermind, the Bollocks album. And then, again, Nevermind came back again. Nirvana.
Yeah.
So that's also, Nevermind.
That's the Nirvana.
And LP. Nevermind. Now then. Nevermind.
I think Malcolm McLaren come unstuck by having him as the front man because he was too intelligent. Sid Vicious was supposed to be the front man because they was auditioning John, and Sid Vicious, his name is John, isn't it? And they got the wrong John. The wrong John walked into that shop and they thought, unstuck, I think.
I think that was one of the biggest mistakes that the elites have ever made, is letting that guy called mouthpiece, because what he did with public, if you listen to the lyrics of Public Image Limited, when he comes out and says, you never listen to the word of the said, he goes, this creation is mine. He was obviously told that you can't call yourself Johnny Rotten anymore because we own your public image. Your public image is mine. Yeah. And that's why he called the song Public Image Limited, and he registered it as a legal term. And the public image was his, and he owned it, and he was going to do what he wanted. And I think that's a story in itself, that he actually fought back and crawled back and became relevant to a number of people. But he was saying that I created that person, the Johnny Rotten. I own it. That's me. But he could never call himself Johnny Rotten ever again.
John Lydon. Yeah, that character was dead. Talking about John Lydon, do you have the mask in Australia? Do you have the Mask Singer? That's a stupid program.
Yes. Apparently he won it.
He's on that now.
Did you tell him he was singing? Because I would have been able to tell.
Of course you would. Oh, yeah, he was actually singing a song by, what's her name? The Australian singer was in Greece. What's her name? Physical.
John Lydon singing Physical by Olivia Newton-John.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, he was singing that, and they didn't twig who it was. I mean, I'd work that out. I don't know.
That's interesting. Before you go, the good thing about that is that he's taken the money, and I think he must have got £100,000 or whatever for being in the show, or he may have got more than that, and he's using that to put out the next Public Image Limited album. And put them into a recording studio.
He's touring. He's actually doing a show in Dunfermline where I am. He's doing one of his spoken word shows.
I would go and see it. That'd be quite good.
Yeah, that'd be quite interesting.
But again, like Roger Daltrey, I know that he knows that you can't say stuff because you're just going to be removed, or you'll end up with a red velvet tie around your neck, auto asphyxiating yourself.
With an orange in your mouth. Although he's very pro Israel, isn't he, John Lydon?
He's very anti kneecap, and he really attacked them. So he's obviously just part of it. He knows where the bread's buttered, and he's going to keep being that way.
Anyway, Rick, I'm going to have to go. Fabulous. Good chatting very quickly. But
thank you for appearing on the Beatold 51 or 50.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Yeah, a pleasure anytime, to catch up man. Soon anytime. And look forward to the next shows. All right.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, Martha, for appearing on the Beatold episode number 50. Always interesting having a person of that caliber that knows, and they appreciates the shows that are getting done on the Be Told show. Now, before I go, I want to talk about Motorhead. We're talking about who I liked. I mean, I went to see Motorhead how many times? I was there at the front row when back in the original days, and right next, and me and my friend had Lenny's boot. We touched his boot. He spat a cigarette out and about 20 people died for his own cigarette. Can you believe it? That's the way people were in the 80s. But I'll just have to say, and I'm going to go out with a song. Lemmy said stuff but he also knew stuff, and I think he knew where to keep his mouth shut. He was into one of the most dangerous things. He was into collecting German uniforms and Southern. He was into this fantastic collection of war memorabilia and uniform. The South, the supposed losers of the American Civil War, he always wore their insignias and stuff, and he also had German outfits and stuff and collected that kind of thing. So many people do. They love it. It's the most collectible stuff on the planet is German uniform stuff. But in the album Bomber, which came out about 82, they said an awful lot of stuff. Well, he said an awful lot of stuff. And he, even the earlier album, was it one after or before, that he sang a song about Metropolis, the movie, which is a movie you must watch. It's telling you the future. But in this song, he did Stone Dead Forever, which is a good song about, I'd like sending it to atheists because I cannot stand vocal atheists. I don't mind you having that thought, but I don't want to hear about you telling me repeatedly about what I might, may or may not believe in. And I am definitely a pro-Christian, 100%, be told. But I don't go around evangelizing unless someone's open to that conversation because it can put people off. And I'm talking about original Logos Christianity. I'm talking about truth, nature, truth, do no wrong, do the right thing, et cetera, et cetera. Got hijacked by the Buddhists, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things that Lemmy was talking about in one of his great songs is about the TV and how much it's brainwashing you and the people behind the TV are brainwashing you. And in Bomber, there's three good songs. You're listening to...
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
What a voice. And here we go. Sorry for those of you over in America or Canada where you just have to go outside to get ice. I have to go into my fridge and get ice. You can hear that going to the glass of beer because it's not hot, but I've just made my lawn. Can I say another prayer? O Lord, Creator, I give thanks to the inventor of the lawnmower and my health and the ability to go and mow, do extreme mowing on at the bottom of my, on the roadway, 45 to 50 degree angle, you know, at my age, extreme mowing. And I give thanks to the creator of this planet and Jesus Christ for my ability to do what I just did. And the fact I'm drinking beer after. Fantastic. And doing a show, just what I'd like to do. So you've got to give thanks for the things that you get. Be told. That's the way it is. That is the way it is. I feel sorry for atheists. They are just fucking, it's just sad. That is really sad. They're miserable lives. Exist.
But nature's so amazing.
I'll tell you about nature. What other the creation of this planet is just the miracle of life. I've taken some beautiful cuttings of this amazing coloured tropical Hawaiian type plant from a job I do, and I put it into a glass of water, and it's now forming little tiny roots, and I can go and plant. And it will keep growing. I can throw out my cabbage, the seeds from the pumpkin I eat into my garden, and it will regrow. I mean, this is a miracle in itself. Perfect creation. Can you not see that? No, there are people that can't see it. Can you not see the patterns of mathematics in nature? No, the atheists can't see it. They are blind to the truth, the logos. Extremely sad. Anyway, before we go, so back to Motorhead. They had a couple of fantastic songs on Bomber that Lemmy wrote, of course. He was the main person behind Motorhead. And he's one of the few rock stars I still hold up as being cool, even though he's now dead. But apart from that, But he said a lot of truth in the song Talking Head about the TV, and the other one, Metropolis, and the other one about all the aces held by people who ain't got faces. The lyrics in that, fantastic. Bomber has some really good songs. And we're going to go out with the song Talking Head, which has so much truth in it. And if you just follow these lines, which I listened to this in 83, non-stop. Another song that helped, the perfect wave of me being awake, from watching The Prisoner when I was a little child to Monty Python through to Woke Me Up back in the day. So on that note, episode number 50, I don't know what we're going to call this. We'll think of something. Thanks for Martha for coming in. Wonderful. We're going out with Talking Head by Motorhead. I'm going to send it off to Joel, and we'll see me. You will see me or hear me next Sunday or Monday. Be told. So thank you very much. Goodbye, everybody. A one, a two, a three. Motorhead from the album Bomber, 1981 or two, or even earlier. Not sure. Good night. Bye.